Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and this is the Downtime Podcast, where I take you behind the scenes of downhill and enduro mountain biking. This episode is supported by Fit for Racing, and we're joined by their main man, Johnny Thompson, to find out how we can not only survive the current lockdowns, but how we can actually take this time to thrive and make improvements and gains in our lives. We're going to be chatting about ways to approach the lockdown period and cover things like the importance of scheduling, strength and conditioning, nutrition, cardio, mobility, mental health, meditation, and plenty more. Johnny's made a short video on mobility too, which you can find over at fitforracing.com. That's fit, then the number four, then racing.com. Also, as a super special lockdown offer, they're offering you 2 weeks free on any of their programs, which are currently adapted to enable you to do them at home. So if you've always wanted to try the Fit for Racing training, or if you just want something to work on right now, then head to fitforracing.com and check it out. This episode of the podcast is also supported by Cushcore. If you're a long-time listener, you'll know that I use Cushcore on my own bike, and I'm a big fan of the added damping and support that they provide. Also, if you've not listened to our episode with Cushcore inventor and founder Adam Crefton, then you should, as it was one of our most popular episodes of last year and helps explain why not all inserts are made equal. You can find that at downtimepodcast.com/Cushcore. To get your hands on some for yourself, then just head to cushcore.com. If you fancy the chance to win a set of Cushcore in your chosen size, then all you need to do is to help me out. I want to find out a little bit more about my listeners, not only to help make better content for you, but also to help when I'm talking to brands about supporting the podcast, which is ultimately what keeps this thing going. So there's a short listener survey over on my website at downtimepodcast.com/survey, and I'd love you to fill it in. It'll only take you a couple of minutes. Everyone who does so and enters an email address will automatically be entered into the prize draw for your very own set of Cushcore to transform your ride. Don't worry, I won't be sharing your personal information with anyone, and all the privacy info is at the top of the form. You'll also find a link to the survey in the show notes for this episode over on downtimepodcast.com. A number of you have been asking where the t-shirts have gone, but unfortunately all merch sales are on hold due to suppliers shutting down to stop the spread of the virus. You can, however, still make a Share the Love donation over at downtimepodcast.com/shop. Please keep on spreading the word and making sure all your riding mates are listening to the podcast, and don't forget to give us a follow on social media where we're at Downtime Podcast. All right, it's time to find out more about how we can not just survive but thrive during this lockdown. So without further ado, here's Johnny Thompson from Fit for Racing. Johnny Thompson, welcome back to the Downtime Podcast. How's things with you?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. Things are different, let's say. Dare I say it, quite exciting.
Okay, good. That's nice to have a fresh perspective on it.
Yeah, well, it's challenging, isn't it? There's lots of things happening daily that throw plans and whatnot, and you have to adapt and overcome. So, yeah, I'm not going to say I like it. I like challenge, and I like to see what we can do with it, I guess.
Good stuff. So we're going to chat a bit about how to survive and hopefully even thrive in this lockdown times. But before we do that, how are things with you? Like, how has it impacted life and business?
Well, Fit for Racing is predominantly online, so we're pretty well set for this. And in fact, we're helping quite a lot more people now because they simply can't get to gyms. They can't see trainers. And we have these programs available to be able to do at home. But maybe not a lot of people know, I have 3 gyms, physical locations, that have had to close. So with all of our members there having to adapt workouts for home, the majority of people are staying as paying members because the community's strong and we do have quite a good online platform for them to be able to train and communicate with each other. But all of that is, I guess, not ideal. And there's last week a lot of adapting had to be done. A lot of panic, really, I guess, and dealing with daily changes in scenarios from stringent hand washing all the way down to pretty much full shutdown. So my wife is on the high risk list. So for a couple of weeks before even locking down, we were already taking massive precautions. And so we're just being super vigilant with it. And to be honest, I mean, it's different. It's quite exciting having to deal with these scenarios that crop up daily. But ultimately, from a business perspective, we just don't know. And I guess we have to wait and see how long it lasts before we can really have a good opinion as to whether it was good and we adapted well, or whether the whole thing's been an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. And you've got staff as well, which makes life more challenging, right? Because you've got other people to look after as well as your family and yourself.
Yes, absolutely. That was my biggest worry at the start with the physical gyms, is the trainers, because they're not going to be in, obviously, coaching classes. And a lot of them do personal training on the side, which is the majority of their income. For Fit for Racing, as I said, we're helping a lot more people now. So cash flow for Fit for Racing is fine. So we can, thankfully, pay our staff there. And the government, I don't know if you're listening in the US, but the British government have been pretty good. So we're going to try and dig in for 3 months, and the grants that the government are offering, we will be able to retrospectively compensate the coaches for their loss of earnings, as well as what they can claim as self-employed people. So hopefully, if it doesn't last more than 3 months, maybe financially, the trainers, the staff, they won't be too much different. And they've had a big chance to learn how to adapt to online training, I guess.
Yeah, true. Right, well, we're going to talk a little bit about what people can focus on, how they can think about this, and how they can take some positives from it. The first thing I know you wanted to talk about was motivation versus habit.
Yeah, so in this time when we're stuck in the house, some people are obviously still able to get out for essentials, but ultimately we're in the house, or we can leave for an hour to do some exercise. And what we find is that people look often for motivation to start something, but that motivation isn't something that you should be relying on to be continuing. So motivation to start is fantastic, but habit forming is ultimately what you want to look for. So imagine this scenario where you train 2 hours a day for your first 7 days of lockdown, and then you lose all motivation, and then you don't train for 3 weeks. Or you strip it back and you think, right, what can I do this week? And so you train for an hour 3 times the first week, and then you continue that for 4 weeks. Because you haven't absolutely blasted it, you've formed a habit, because you've done it for 4 weeks. You've done 3 times a week, and actually the training volume is less, but you can imagine which one's going to be better for you. And at the end of it, then you hopefully have formed a habit so that then it's easy to continue and even add more in if you feel like you can. So it's not looking on the internet, YouTube videos, and trying to find motivation, although you will need that to start. It's looking at how can I form a habit here in a time when actually you might have a lot of spare time on your hands and you fall into bad habits. So Netflix is there. You can sit and absolutely hammer box sets all day, every day. And you eat when you're hungry, sleep when you're tired, and there you go. You've fallen into some bad habits. So to get these habits really established that are going to work for you, my first suggestion is try and find some kind of routine around a schedule. So if you create yourself a schedule, that might even, if you're brave enough, set an alarm or keep your alarm set when you would normally be getting up to go out to work or whatever. And then eat your meals at the times that you normally would, go to bed at the time you normally would. And in between that, you can then find time for exercise. So you can do steady state cardio, strength and conditioning, food prep, because if you've got time on your hands, you can spend more time doing preparing good food, some mobility, core work, and potentially meditation if you're into that, and something cool to try. So you can schedule those things through your day, you can look forward to it, and then because it's scheduled, you don't then have to make a choice every time. So what we find is if you've got too much choice, you end up doing nothing and you rely on habits, which might already be bad habits of Netflix, biscuits and crisps, and sleep at midnight, sleep until 11, you know. So remove the choice, have a schedule, and then you just flow with it. And you'll find that actually you're getting quite a lot in the day of purposeful stuff and every day that helps with your mental health because you feel like you've achieved and you're really progressing. And one of the biggest things is feeling lethargic because you're spending all your time in a big debate in your mind as to what am I going to do? And often, if you're relying on your bad habits, when you make those decisions afterwards, you beat yourself up about it. So you don't feel good about the things that you've been doing that aren't really helping you. So flip it on its head, decide what you're going to do ahead of time, create a schedule and stick to it as best you can. But ultimately, try not to get down on it if you fall off the wagon a little bit. Just keep plugging away a good schedule full of purposeful things that are going to help you physically and mentally, which is probably the most important thing for you right now.
Yeah, reminds me of the Jocko Willink approach that discipline equals freedom.
Where, yeah,
you know, working to a schedule, knowing that certain things are going to happen at certain times, gives you freedom to kind of free the mind up to do things. It gives you time to do things, and actually, that whole it's kind of even bigger right now. I guess like the discipline of staying inside and following the rules will ultimately get us our freedom back.
Yeah, it's crazy because ultimately, I want freedom. And a lot of us, our end goal is to be free of anything really and do what we want when we want. But when you find yourself in that scenario, actually we crave for routine. And then we feel like we get more out of our lives because those pockets of time when we do have freedom, inverted commas, then we're actually craving to do other purposeful things. So freedom for me is having time, and that can be scheduled, to be working and progressing physically, mentally, and purposeful time. Because if you have the freedom to do what you like and you do nothing with it, at the end of that process, you feel bad, you're physically out of shape, your mental health's not so good, and you beat yourself up about it. You don't feel proud of the time that you've spent. It's different if you go on a beach holiday twice a year to have a full break because the rest of the time you're working so hard, and sitting on a beach reading a book, that's fine. That's a full unplug from a scenario that's stressful. But here, actually, you're plugged in and there's no escape. So then freedom comes, as you say, as Jocko says, freedom comes from that routine and the schedule and planning out.
Yeah. Is there a risk with scheduling that it can kind of drive monotony? Like how do you think about that? How do you deal with that?
I deal with it well because monotony is, I guess, habit, routine. So if I know that I'm going to train at a particular time in a day, or I'm going to have my lunch at a particular time, it just removes that choice. And you can also schedule in times when you're not going to follow that routine. And also, don't follow the routine occasionally. So, you know, I'm not saying that the 7 days a week and you plan out every single hour of every single day, because ultimately you're not going to stick to it. And we don't want you to feel bad for not sticking to it. So if something comes up and you just don't feel like sticking to the routine for a time, then accept that. Do it, whatever the thing is that you're going to do that's off the routine. Forgive yourself for it and come back positive. Does that make sense? So the monotony, I guess it's the monotony really comes from when you don't have a schedule and you're just sitting and waiting. I mean, ultimately, what are you waiting for? So many people fantasize about opportunity of time, and now you have it. I bet loads of people are just sitting there, probably listening to this, waiting for this to be over. You're like, actually, are you ever going to be happy if you can't be happy with the present and the opportunity that's right in front of you?
Yeah, fair point. What about kind of separating and creating a difference between weekdays and weekends? Do you think that's important?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm in the house with my wife and two kids, and I work, and I pretty much keep a more rigid schedule now I'm at home than when I am at work. And so I've got my office, I come down for breaks and lunch times, I finish work at a particular time, I start work at a particular time, and then weekends and evenings are sacred. So these are times that I schedule in for purposeful time. So it's still purposeful. I'm not just sitting waiting, but I'm going to dedicate that to my family to kind of repay my wife and my kids for being in this scenario and still allowing or facilitating me being able to work. So that's really good for my mental health as well, because I can look forward to finishing at 5 p.m. and I'll go downstairs and cook tea. And then it's a break, and it's a defined break. So to have those defined breaks, you can then be present and dedicate yourself to another thing. If there's blurred lines and you're not sure what it is you're doing at whatever time, then you don't commit yourself mentally and have that freedom to be able to concentrate on what's right in front of you. And then you end up in this state of limbo that isn't fulfilling. It's not great for your mental health. And you do get stale and lethargic.
Yeah, nothing gets all of you, does it, when it's like that? You know, whatever you're doing, there's always a bit of you somewhere else kind of worrying or thinking about something.
Exactly.
You're never present. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a big thing that I have had to learn, because of having so much going on and so much potential. I could work 24 hours a day if my body and my family would allow it. But there has to be a cutoff, and there has to be priority time. So what's really important to you? And if you don't have a schedule and you don't have sacred times that are dedicated to family, then everything does just get caught up. And you don't feel happy about it. You don't feel like you've contributed as much. So say if I was just freely working in my office and I said to my wife, just give me a call if you need a hand with anything at all. And then she'd be calling every 10 minutes. I wouldn't be able to concentrate on my work. And likewise, if I was working downstairs and trying to look after my kids at the same time, that wouldn't be very good for my kids. So they would think, oh, well, what's daddy doing over there? He normally plays with me. And so these blurred lines just create a little bit of turmoil, and you can't dedicate to what you kind of set out to do.
Yeah. What if you're isolating on your own, though? I mean, if you've got like housemates or family or whatever around, obviously there's that opportunity to switch mode and go and hang out with them. But if you're isolating on your own, any thoughts on how to stop the day and the week just kind of blurring into one big...
Yeah, again, the schedule again. So what you're going to do at meal times? So you might be Netflixing and you've got the schedule written out for you and you've got blocks of time. Don't then have the TV on whilst you're having your food. Go to a different area. If you're stuck in one room or small place, go to another area and spend time there. And spend time learning. So get away from screens, get books that you haven't read that you've got, or download Audible podcasts, learn more, because this is an absolutely great opportunity for you to do this when you normally wouldn't. A lot of people, you know, they'll listen to these podcasts on a commute to work. Now you can sit and just absolutely chill and you can learn loads. I mean, if you're isolating on your own, then more opportunity, I guess. There's obviously more challenge, or there could be, I guess, maybe for mental health as well. So that's then when I think scheduling and routine is even more important. And you can really test yourself with that, you know, see it as a challenge. Don't see it as a lifeline. See it as something that you can stand up and say, right, yes, I'm going to do this and I'm going to try. And this is what I'm going to do with my food, because I know I should have done that before. This is what I'm going to do with my training. I'm going to look after my lower back because it's been causing me problems. So actually, I'm going to dedicate some time daily with that. I'm going to strengthen my core as well. And all of these things that you can do, meditation. I mean, I've read a lot of Tim Ferriss books, and I don't know if it's like a Californian thing, but it tends to be that successful people really do, in some way or form, meditate. A lot of people, obviously riding is a form of meditation. If you can't do that, let's find some freedom in your mind elsewhere through training, a form of meditation, or genuinely practice meditation. There's no better opportunity for that. And then see how it makes you feel. And that could be your lifeline right there, is trying learning something new, let's say meditation. And then, that could really help you.
Yeah, you had a go with the heart rate based meditation, didn't you? Because I know we've had a conversation about this in the past. I think that we've both got quite busy minds and find it hard to quieten them.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that I meditate best if I'm also focused on something else, which is kind of contradictory. But yeah, variable heart rate monitors, they can hook up to apps and they can show you a state of coherence. So you can take a look at it and you can control your breathing. But ultimately, all it is a distraction. So it's almost gamifying it. So you look at your heart rate and the adherence, and you can slip in and feel yourself get into a deeper meditation, and then it shows you on the screen, well, yes, you are. And then you can relate that to a feeling, to data that's coming back at you. I've tried flotation tanks. So that's when it's salty water, the air, and the water's the same temperature. It's soundproofed and you basically weightless. And all you have in there is your mind. And I know a lot of people rave about it. I had a really good couple of experiences, but once I was used to the experience, I needed something else. And I just lay in there, like I would lie on a sofa and just think about the things that I needed to do. Yeah. So this way, it's something that I can focus on, gamify it, and see how well I can get into a state of meditation, which I suppose is a kind of competitive nature that I have, but it really works for me.
Cool. And I guess you're making the most of some of the technology that's available to us as well, right? So a lot of software is there that enables us to keep up to date with our friends, which I think is even more important than ever now, and especially if you're isolating on your own.
Yes, absolutely. We're doing, for one of the gyms, a member was part of a pub quiz on Sunday night on Zoom. It's like a conferencing app and everyone pops up. And I don't know whether it's a plugin or something that you sign up to, but we're going to try it on Saturday night. And I'm already looking forward to it. So me and my wife, we're going to dedicate some time and we're going to see the faces of all the people that I normally see at the gym. And we're going to do something that's not fitness related. We've been doing some Q&A sessions where, you know, we get some feedback questions on particular subjects. You know, last night was core work, let's say, and the members ask questions. But what we want is a bit of freedom and actually socializing. And technology nowadays is absolutely mental. So yes, if you're isolating on your own, that interaction with people, use the technology, get on these apps, even FaceTime somebody, schedule it in, send them a message, say, oh, I just could do with a bit of a chat for half an hour. And that really is great for your mental health, which I said earlier, and I'll say again, is probably going to be the most testing for people in this time.
Yeah, definitely. And if you've got people around you in your kind of lockdown, but you've got friends that are on their own, then think of them and give them a shout and check in and keep up to date with them. Because I think it must be, I mean, it's hard enough when it's just, yeah, when you're in a family unit, but it's going to be super hard for people that are on their own, I think.
And it'll probably be hard for them also to ask for help. So think about them first. And if they get into a deep state of depression and detachment from the reality in the world, then, you know, that call might really help them. So, yeah, definitely think about people on their own and see if you can help them out.
Cool. So let's talk about some of the stuff that should be on the schedule then. And I guess one of your key areas of expertise is the strength and conditioning side of things. How do you think about it? And like, is it actually still possible to make gains in that side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. Ideally, people will have access to a gym. So strength and conditioning isn't impossible at home. And in fact, a lot of people, unless you're the top level of, say, weightlifting, a lot of people will really benefit and still make progress doing body weight or even loaded with, say, a rucksack or smaller household objects, and doing things like single leg, more difficult tempo movements can really build strength and endurance and mobility and all the things that will really help you as a rider on the other side. So you can absolutely do strength and conditioning at home with no equipment whatsoever. There's a lot of people rave about not needing equipment. I think that it's better to have it, but in the absence of it, you can still absolutely make progress. And it's a really good thing to be able to do. So strength and conditioning, it's in the name. So it's not just strengthening. The conditioning element is the thing that's going to be really good to turn strength into some function so that when you are back on the bike, you have a little bit more endurance and ability. And that conditioning piece, normally, daily, is really good for making you feel good as well. So everyone knows what it's like to do a nice ride that's going to be testing and how great you feel afterwards. That's like a steady state cardio or even intervals, you know, if you're mountain biking. Then that conditioning side, because of the intensity of it, can release more endorphins and good hormones that then, if you hit that, you're going to be in a good state of mind for quite a few hours after. And it will really help you sleep. So one of the big things now is, you know, while we're in lockdown, is you don't feel tired when you go to bed because you haven't really done a lot through the day. Make yourself tired and then you'll sleep better. And then that element, the strength and conditioning within that day, or the steady state cardio if you can get out for an hour, having those in your day daily will then help everything else. And it will help motivate you and feel like you want to eat better, you will sleep better, and timings. So putting it in, it'll just help everything slot together.
Yeah. And are there any particular body weight movements that you would recommend for mountain bikers in general?
Yeah. Well, the list is massive. Obviously, there are so many. You can Google search it. We've already put out workouts on YouTube and our Fit for Racing website. But generally, look for things that are single leg. So obviously, legs are really important for riding, but core as well. So a specific movement, let's say, rear foot elevated split squat. It's one of my favorite, and it doesn't take a lot of load to be able to really push it because of the angle, because it's single leg, because of the range through your hip and ankle. You know, you can wear a rucksack with some heavy books in. You probably don't need anything at all. A lot of people that are listening just need a chair to put their back foot on, and they're able to really load up and build strength. And if you're listening to this and you've never done any strength and conditioning whatsoever, then here's a perfect time to try it. And then when you get back out on your bike, see how it's affected your riding. And I'm pretty certain if you've never done strength and conditioning, when you get back out on your bike, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So that's with the kind of the top of your foot again on the chair, right? So you're lifting your foot up, laying the top of your foot on it.
So you'd find a chair, say a sofa, and you would put the laces. So you would point your toes up at the back and your front leg would be on the floor in a lunge position, keeping your chest as tall as you can. Just lower yourself down until your knee gets towards you. So your back knee, the one where your foot's on the sofa, your back knee's then pointing towards the ground, and there's a big range. So your front knee, your chest is coming towards your front knee, and you're basically really changing the angle of your front hip. You'll feel some tension maybe in your quads of the back leg, which is a good thing. So this is a multi-benefit movement, so for mobility as well as strength. So the function of your hip will really increase with this movement.
Yeah, and any kind of upper body stuff? I guess the push-up is a really good go-to body weight exercise, and that can be varied with kind of arm position and stuff.
Yeah, so pressing doesn't seem to be a problem when you have no equipment. Pulling is probably more important for a rider to stabilize the shoulder. So the bigger muscles in your upper mid back, and they can, if you're not experienced, be difficult to train. So try this one. It's called a reverse press up, and it's weird, and it doesn't look, if you saw it, you'd be like, that's doing nothing. Actually, I was doing it the other day, and Louise was like, what even is that? So if you lie on your back with your feet on the floor, and so your knees are bent, and then put your elbows down beside your ribs either side, clench your fists, so your elbows at 90 degrees, and then push your elbows into the ground to raise your chest off. So you're basically hinging at the hip, lifting your chest off the ground, and you'll feel immediately that tension in your upper mid-back with your shoulder blades coming together and pushing on the rear delts. So that really, you can do it with straight arms, you can do variations depending on where your feet are to add more load. You can put load on your chest, and that really is really important, because let's say you could only think of press-ups and pressing movements, tricep dips and all of these things that are really good for pressing, then the danger is you create imbalance. And we know that imbalance then is a recipe for injury. So if you're very good at pressing, but you're not balanced out through your back, which stabilizes the shoulder, you have this rounded shoulder position, which isn't great for riding. And if you come off and your shoulder's in a got a bit of dysfunction in where it is, then you're more likely to injure yourself. And then if you continue training as well, exacerbate it. And that's why a lot of the bro science bench presses, oh yeah, I do chest on Monday, chest on Tuesday, legs on Wednesday, but I don't tend to do that. Then, you know, they get this tight pec and rounded shoulder position, and then inevitably they hurt themselves. You know, just that repetitive pressing, creating a bad position, extra strain on muscles and tendons around the shoulder. And because your shoulders really should be flexible, the purpose of it is not necessarily to be ultra strong, but more to have mobility, flexibility, and being useful in many different positions. So restricting that then means that, you know, say if you even press overhead and your shoulder's not flexible enough, then that can all affect your lower back. So, yeah, I suppose before rambling anymore, ultimately you want balance, and being able to do the less known movements for strengthening the back is really important.
Yeah. And I guess with all of this advice, everyone needs to be sensible right now. Like if it's hurting or if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. We don't need more people going to doctors and hospitals and things at the moment.
Oh, so. Shit, no. Yeah, yeah, avoid hospitals.
Yeah, so be careful if things don't feel right.
Yeah, yeah, always, always, when you're going to start any kind of strength and conditioning training, then you need to break in slowly and know that you're moving well and be really tuned in to, am I hurt, injured, or is this pain a good sign of training, a bad sign? And all of those things, just be mindful that training on top of training, particularly if you haven't done it before, does put strain on tendons and other things. So be careful. Your muscles can recover from DOMS. So typically you would have delayed onset muscle soreness, particularly if you're untrained. So let's say you did 50 press-ups in a day, the next day your chest might be sore, your triceps. And then a couple of days after, you go again. If you continually do that movement, your muscle might recover, so it's pain-free, but your tendons take longer to recover, and you might not know that they are in an inflammatory state, which then can cause impingements. And that's when you get pain whilst moving, and people still insist on training through that, make it worse, and ultimately do some damage that you can't fully recover from, tears and positional stuff. So just be really mindful on your training volume, what movements you're doing, how balanced they are, and if you have any niggles, then now is a really good opportunity to look at those and think, right, mobility is key for staying healthy, and core work as well. So let's not forget that, you know, you can be doing all the press-ups in the world and reverse press-ups, and don't start doing a million crunches a day and think, yes, I'll get a super strong core. You know, isometric holds like planks, side planks, bird dogs, you can do these things daily just to support your midline. So if you build a strong core, then that will really bulletproof your lower back. And then twin that with the mobility work, then that should put you in a better state to be able to train more often and then feel better in general.
Yeah. So mobility is a great one to be working on right now, because it's one of those things, it's not particularly glamorous, it's not that exciting, you don't necessarily get a massive sweat on and feel the benefits immediately, but it's something we should all be doing, and often people put it off. So if yes. we're at home and we've got time, now's a good chance to have a go at it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And on that subject, I have already recorded a video to go with this podcast to give you some, it's a general mobility flow. So spending time in different positions so that ultimately every part of your body is hit. It's not an exclusive list of things you should do as a rider. It's ones that I find are really bang for buck. And I'll say bang for buck quite a lot. It annoys my wife. She says she doesn't like it. But it's a good way to summarize a principle of ours, is that if you're going to do something, you may as well have a high impact go at it. You know, you could put yoga on the TV and you can get into positions that you don't even need to be in because you're already pretty flexible or mobile in that position. So use this video, go through different parts of your body, see where you need to spend more time, and ultimately spend more time there. So if you have an hour a day, do your whole body. If you have 10 minutes a day, find the parts that have the biggest impact, so particularly around your hips and shoulders, and spend the time on the movements that will help a particular tightness.
Yeah, so you should be doing the movements that you find maybe more challenging, not the ones that you find nice and easy and relaxing.
Yeah, which is a lot of what we find in training as well, is people like what they're good at. And a principle of mine is find what I'm not good at and make that into something that I'm good at. And actually, you then enjoy it. When I first started training, well, beyond years and years ago, like bodybuilding style movements, trying to become a better mountain biker through bodybuilding, back then, I just had no clue and it didn't work for me. So strength and conditioning wise, a big part of that is I had a good engine. I had good general strength. Bodyweight stuff I was great at. It was Olympic weightlifting. And now it's not something that I suggest many people do, but just as an example of mindset and how to turn something into a positive, I was so bad at it. And it was frustrating because generally I was pretty good at physical things. And it was something that I had to learn. And as a strength and conditioning coach, I thought, well, if I can't do this well, then I can't coach it. And I know there's a lot of coaches out there saying you don't have to do a thing to be able to coach it. But for me, I need to be able to feel and I suppose communicate that feeling, see somebody and know how they're feeling to be able to adjust it. Anyway, I spent a long time getting better at it. And guess what? It's one of my favorite things to do now because I'm reasonably good at it.
Yeah, everything that that starts off hard eventually gets easier, right?
Yeah, here's an example, right? Handstands. Who likes handstands? I bet if you could do them, you'd like them.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah.
I'm going to practice that, by the way. When I get out of this house, I'm going to be handstand walking to work.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the getting out piece. So we are at the moment in the UK anyway, it's still allowed out once a day to do some exercise. I'm sure that varies around the globe and it might change here in the UK, but let's take that bang for the buck thing. What sort of things would you think about doing in that hour a day?
Well, it depends what other things you are doing. So if you're going to rely on that 1 hour a day to be outside riding, preferably, or running, even walking, then think, if it's my only thing that I'm going to do every day, then vary the tempo with intervals every other day, I'd suggest. So think about, why are you training? So use it as an opportunity to increase your ability so that then when you're able to go out for better rides on your mountain bike on the other end, then you're actually in a better physical position. So a bit of energy systems. So we rely on three different energy systems. This is just completely summarizing. And depending on the time domain that you train, you tap into each one of those in a different way. So short, medium, and long, basically. So anything under 12 seconds is a really impactful energy system that a lot of people simply don't train. So by doing intervals, maybe even 10 intervals with a minute or 2 minutes rest in between. So you can find a hill, do a sprint up for less than 12 seconds, coast back down, take a rest. And these are like all out efforts. Or even longer intervals up into 3 or 4 minutes and then resting a similar amount of time as the interval took. And then again, you can do the steady state cardio. So something that's going to be, you know, you could hold a conversation, you're pretty out of breath, maybe 60 to 70% of your heart rate if you have a heart rate monitor. That's generally the one that's going to be best for your mental health. If you're getting out for a break, you maybe do that every other day and then mix in intervals. Mm-hmm. But in all honesty, if you do strength and conditioning with, let's say, obviously you're going to sign up to a Fit for Racing program, a lot of the shorter energy system is hit with the conditioning elements of the strength and conditioning that you'll do. There are interval training sessions in there, but in this time, if you're going to do that and then you're going to get out on your bike or you're going to run, then use that time to free your mind. Spend it in a lower intensity type state. So go out on your bike, take in the air, be used to being outside before you get back inside, and then that'll do really good for your mental health. And you're not just seeing it as another chore potentially. You know, the worst thing you can do is find the only hour that you get outside as something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately,
make it pleasant.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, a lot of the training you'll do, you don't want to start it, but once you've finished it, you feel amazing and you wouldn't change the fact that you did it. But still, it's good to be able to project yourself to the afternoon and think, oh, it's a nice day. I can't wait to get out. I'm not going to do intervals today. I'm going to go for an hour ride, nice and steady, and I'm just going to enjoy myself.
Yeah. And it does, like, it seems, I don't know if it's, I'm imagining it or not, but it just feels so quiet out. It's kind of peaceful, and it's really nice being outside at the moment. I guess it's just because we're not allowed so much of it that it feels even more amazing.
It's definitely changed. there's more wildlife. There's no aeroplanes, which,
yeah, true.
You know, you look around and how often have you looked up and not seen? I mean, I live in the Lake District and there's not that many, but generally you can see one or two all the time. And it's just odd. It's those things that I suppose subconsciously you never really realize. And then, yeah, outside, quiet, less cars on the road. And they've done some studies as well. They're looking into the air pollution. And I think generally we'll have a better perspective on, you know, the environment and really the impact of everyone not traveling.
Yeah.
You know, and then also I hope that's a mega positive, because I bet a lot of companies and employers have really put off people being able to work from home, saying, well, it's impossible to do this from home. And now they see that actually it's not, and people left to their own devices aren't just going to sit and watch Netflix.
You know,
they might do an hour a day, but hey,
well, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, productive time the rest of the time. If people can work from home and they don't have to travel so much, that's an amazing opportunity to, I suppose it's a hot topic, is the environment right now, is to really curb our emissions and really see what that can do for the planet.
Yeah, for sure. And like you say, that it's that whole discipline equals freedom thing again. Like, if you've been disciplined and you've done everything during the day that you needed to get done, then you can sit and watch Netflix for an hour at night. Like, that's not an issue, and you shouldn't feel guilty.
So, and here, yeah, like a mindset thing is, right, if I wake up and I'm at a loose end and I put Netflix on, I think, right, okay, tell you what, I'll watch Netflix and then I'll do my stuff. And then you put it off and you don't do your stuff and you feel guilty. Instead, do your stuff, use it as a reward. So that time, it's the same thing in a different order, but a completely different mindset. It's a positive action versus a negative action and a negative state of mind. So actually, watching Netflix first thing in the morning, you might be feeling all right, you know, not that guilty about it. But if you use it as a reward, actually you're quite excited about it too. And it's like a bonus. Yeah. So actually you're taking that same thing and making it better simply by doing other things before it and scheduling and feeling like you've got some purpose and you're really contributing to this whole environment that I suppose is in ultimately in your control, in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a bit about food and nutrition then, because that, again, that's something that people often struggle with and use time as a reason that they struggle, right? Oh, I don't have time to cook from scratch. I don't have time to prepare food. Most of us now have a bit more time. Not everyone, I guess, depending on what you're doing and how many kids you've got at home to homeschool. But what are your thoughts on food and nutrition right now?
Food and nutrition, important, again, to stick to this schedule because choice will lead to bad habits. And before you know it, you're going to eat when you're hungry. But, well, actually, you're going to start preparing your food when you're already hungry. And how many people just look in the cupboards for a quick snack whilst they're making food to kind of tide them over until mealtime? So be vigilant and start preparing your food before you're hungry. And if you do it beforehand, then you're more likely to go to it and feel better about it than trying to decide just before you cook. So, yeah, scheduling is important, but also planning out if you can, which probably is pretty important right now because we don't want you to go to the shops every day. So we're having deliveries of food, and our next one, we got one yesterday. It's going to be 9 days until the next one. So it's important for us, because of the limitations on the number of items that we can get, it's important for us to be able to really plan out the food, not eat all of the good stuff at the start and be left with, like I found myself a couple of days ago getting some tofu out that had been in the cupboard for about 2 years. And actually, it was great. spice it, fried it, put it in the oven, nice and crispy, and had it with a packet rice. And do you know what? I absolutely loved it. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity to go through the cupboards, see what you've got in there that you have no intention of eating any other time, and seeing what you can do with it. But, yeah, try not to just eat when you're hungry. So prepare it first and try not to snack through boredom. So the schedule of all other things will help keep you on track if you're a boredom eater. So if you're just used to watching TV and snacking at the same time, try and break that cycle. Maybe even have a cup of herbal tea or some fluids. Because often when we're hungry, we're actually dehydrated and your body's response is to look for something. So drink more water, which is going to be good anyway. And that might also curb some of your cravings. And something that I've tried recently that actually... KJ Sharp, so she's a nutritionist. We've done a little bit of work with her in the past, and I've been doing some of her nutrition plan she wrote for me. And before I knew it, I was doing intermittent fasting, and most days I would only eat between 12 and 5. And you know what? That was great for me because I had less choice. So I didn't have to wake up and think, what am I going to have for breakfast? I just knew that I was going to eat at 12 and then I could prepare the food for then. So then reducing the choices, and say if you're overweight right now and you're struggling, try eating in a smaller window and then see how that works for you. It's maybe a good opportunity. It's not going to work for everybody. I'm not going to say that it's the best way to lose weight. It might be bad for your mental health if you're constantly making choices not to eat. So, but try it. Now is a good opportunity to start trying these things. But ultimately, you're only as strong as your mind and your free will. So if something else drops off the back of it because you're focusing too much on your diet, then just be wary you're making the right choices and that you're not concentrating on the things that aren't as important right now.
Yeah. And it, I guess keeping healthy, like exercise, eating well, all of this kind of stuff right now is more important than ever because it's going to help your immune system. And we need our immune systems, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Vegetables, lots and lots of vegetables if you can. So it's a big, yeah, that was a big area for me, and that's why I approached KJ. Ultimately, I knew everything that she gave me, but I needed to be accountable. So I needed somebody to write me a program that I, somebody that I respected and that I would go through with and say, right, okay, this is what she's told me to do. I owe it to her to do this. And a big thing was the amount of vegetables I was eating. I tried being vegan for a month to see how that went, because I also wanted to disrupt some bad habits. And then that was an attempt at eating more vegetables, which of course I did. But yeah. I didn't particularly like it. There were some areas that I felt weren't working for me. But this ultimately is the best for me, because I get the amount of vegetables in daily that I feel support me physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. So it's really important now that, yes, this exercise and food is really contributing to your health and well-being, because, yeah, there is something awful out there that, if you're not careful, will be really bad for you. And I know that it's generally people with existing issues that are getting the worst of it. But still, you know, any kind of immune boost is going to be good for you. And that generally comes from diet and exercise.
Yeah. And any thoughts on supplementation at all?
Vitamin D, if you can't get outside, for sure. Omega-3. And that's pretty much all I take. I used to take ZMA for sleep, magnesium, you know, things, additional things that, in all honesty, I think there's a lot of sales that go on with supplements. You know, we promise you this, and yeah. You know, if you don't take this, you're at risk of this, and it's a lot of it is fear. A lot of sales around supplements are fear of missing out. So if you're training hard and you've got everything dialed in, you think, right, what's next? Then supplements. If I'm not taking that, I'm not making the best out of my training. That's not necessarily true. I'd say that supplements are at the very bottom of the list of priorities, other than things that are going to be for health. So health being, you know, you can't be fit without being healthy. Ultimately, the best fitness comes from the best health. So vegetables first, vitamin D if you're not getting outside, because that'll really help you absorb all of the micronutrients and that'll help you state. And then omega-3 fatty acids, so essential fatty acids.
Yeah, what's the thinking behind the omega-3s?
Just, you know, they're essential for brain function and something that often people don't get in their normal diet. So, you know, if you're not eating as much fish, like fish mm-hmm. daily, then it's just a good additional thing to put in. Reasonably cheap and accessible. It's not a big deal. And it's just something that, honestly, you know, a lot of people, they probably won't feel a lot different. But for me, maybe it's fear of missing out. It's something that I've taken for a long time. And yeah, it's good for me. But the vitamin D, for sure, that's a big thing, particularly, you know, British winter climate. It's getting a bit better now, you know, if you can get outside. But that's a big thing because it supports all other things. So, you know, that is one that, you know, the vegetables you eat work better if you have vitamin D.
Yeah, which we normally get from sunlight, which we aren't seeing a lot of right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fair play. So if people have got a bit of time on their hands, have you got any good book recommendations? Anything you've read recently or that you think is a good read?
The Power of Habit is a good one.
Okay.
It's very, very topical right now. Oh, no. Stuck with that. No. I couldn't tell you. Do you want me to Google it right now?
I'm on it. Yeah. I'm on it. Charles Duhigg.
Yes, that's the one.
Duhigg. Yeah.
There are other books out there about habit, but this guy is pretty decent. Yeah. So habit is, I suppose, the foundation for me for all of these things is that if you can form good habits, then it isn't a choice that you make daily. It's a state that you're in. So when you're in a flow of good habits, it actually becomes more difficult to do something that's a bad habit because it's not the way that you normally function daily. And we know through marginal gains that that's how you best make progress towards health and fitness is doing small things often. And without a habit, as we said at the very start, motivation only gets you so far. When you run out of motivation, you rely on habits. And what habits are there, good or bad, that's your state. So create a better state for yourself, and then you'll find that actually that's just who you are and what you do. And there's no better freedom than that, knowing that you're doing all you can.
Yeah, and you need to do things for... There's some science around how long you need to do things for in order for it to become a habit, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And it's reducing that choice as well. So there are things in the book that, you know, like, oh, I need to go out for a run every morning, so put your trainers at the door, that kind of thing. So remove the number of steps it takes to be able to do a thing. Yeah. I think it was that book. And they were talking about there's a guy... had an injury or a disease, a brain disease, and he had part of his brain removed, so he could only remember the last 10 minutes. And they would go out, since that happened, they would go out and do a circle, a block loop, and they basically would come out the door, turn left in a big square, come back into the house. And they did that so often. One time, this guy's carer, wife, whatever, had left the door open. He'd wandered out, panic stricken, well, you know, he can only remember the last 10 minutes, so where's he at? And he's done the loop and come back in, because that habit was formed in a part of the brain that is different from your thought and immediate memory. So wow, those okay. habits that are ingrained in you, and if you can get to that state where you have great habits that are in your brain, that's that in there, then there's no choice, there's freedom, and you feel great about being in this state. And that's why you see a lot of people, you know, you are what you always do, you know, and, you know, a lot of people, they have great habits, and you think, oh, this, it just seems so easy for them. It's because that's who they are, what they do, you know. Changing from a state to another state, that's where the difficulty is. So motivation first, but then ultimately forming these small habits, which end up being bigger habits and more of them. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And now is the time. Now is the time.
Absolutely. Opportunity. See it as a positive.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. There's loads of helpful information in there. And so there's going to be a few resources for people. So there's a mobility video that we're going to put a link in the show notes for.
Yeah.
So that'll be on the website, downtimepodcast.com. Find this episode and it'll be in the show notes. You've got some other videos on your website with various workouts, core exercises, etc. over on, is it fitforracing.com?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we do have a YouTube channel where the videos sit as well. But if you go to the fitforracing.com, they sit as articles and they have text with them that can explain a little bit more, that maybe after filming and editing the video, I've thought a little bit more about that subject within the text is useful. So that's it's worth visiting the website for that, for sure.
And that's fit, then the number 4racing.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you're going to do a free trial for listeners. Is that true?
Yeah. So, you know, we really debated, because we've given discounts before for listeners, and it has been really good because it's encouraged people to try. But a lot of people simply can't at the moment. You know, they might be out of work, and I think it's time that we can give something for free. You know, we've... you know, not being massively impacted by this, and it could eventually be a positive thing for Fit for Racing because of people's desire to be able to train from home and follow a program. So cut long story short, there's a 2-week trial period on both levels of our programs. So we have Fit for Racing, we've always had Fit for Racing, and it's coincidence really that in November, we were discussing a scaled-down version, say a Fit for Racing Lite. Well, we've got Fit for Riding now, which is, it can all be done from home. It is cheaper. But if you choose Fit for Racing, you also get Fit for Riding. And you'll see the difference then. So a 2-week free trial, you can cancel any time. You know, you can sign up and cancel straight away and you'll have 2 weeks of access. But you can see the difference between Fit for Racing and Fit for Riding. And then hopefully at the end of it, you'll either have enough motivation and exercises and workouts in there that'll see you through until you can get back out. Or you might want to continue a program and then you've got a good idea of what it is we offer and which one would be most appropriate for you.
Awesome. That's super kind. How do people take you up on that offer? What do they need to do?
Well, just go to fitforracing.com now and choose a program that's suitable. So I'm going to presume most people are mountain bikers on here. So Fit for Racing, you can choose between downhill and enduro. Now, it doesn't mean that you race these things. Enduro is pretty much for trail riders as well. But we do have some of the best riders in the world following these programs. So we call that the upper level. Mm-hmm. And then Fit for Riding, it is for mountain bike. So you'll see there are moto ones on there as well. So basically a mirrored, a motocross and enduro and a moto fit for riding. So choose the kind of the level. We'd encourage you to pick, the majority of listeners would pick the enduro mountain bike program. That would be really suitable for a regular trail rider. Okay. And then each of the workouts, as you'll see, they're adapted at the moment to be able to do from home. And actually, we'll probably run that forever now because the programs have been written and there's a lot of thought gone into it. But then obviously Corona happened and lots of people are training from home. So we've filled it out with additional things and substitutions that can be body weight only or with some minimal equipment. So if you have a kettlebell, a dumbbell, then you can make the most of those things on either one of these programs.
Cool. And if people sign up for Fit for Racing, they get the Fit for All Riding as well.
That's
right.
If
they get to the end of the 2 weeks and they decide the Fit for Riding is the right one for them, is it easy for them to switch between the two?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay. So you could, you can switch between the two before the 2 weeks are up. And obviously there's it costs less. It's £25 for the Fit for Riding. It's £45 mm-hmm. for Fit for Racing. And that is a big thing for us as well, is because lots of people have asked for a cheaper version with not so much in, because there's so much on the Fit for Racing program. Ultimately, we said that you'd only need to train essentially 2 days a week and anything else is a bonus. But I think a lot of people saw that as, well, I'm not using that additional stuff, so I'm missing out. Yeah. So really, that's another reason why we did Fit for Riding, so that there are less days of training, there's less per day, and it's a lot more appropriate for everyday riders. And obviously the cost is less, which is more appealing, more accessible for people.
Yeah, good stuff. Nice one. Well, thanks thanks for taking the time today to give some good advice as ever. And people should definitely check out the videos, sign up for a free trial and see how they get on with it. And yeah, hopefully all of us can come out of this in a better place than we went into it.
Great. It's been a pleasure, Chris. Actually, it's been good chatting with you. As you can imagine, I'm not chatting with that many people at the moment.
Yeah, we're both getting a bit of socializing done. It's nice.
Yeah, it's not the same when you're in front of a camera and you're chatting to imaginary people.
Yeah, true.
The feedback's not so great.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time, man. And look after yourself and we'll see you when we're allowed to travel again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot, Chris. I'll see you next time.
Cheers.
Bye.
All right, that's it for this episode with Johnny. I hope you've enjoyed listening and that this episode helps you out a little with the current situation. To find out more about Fit for Racing and to try their programs for free for 2 weeks, then just head to fitforracing.com. That's fit, then the number four, then racing.com. A massive thanks also to KushCore for supporting this episode. Don't forget to check out what they have to offer over at KushCore.com. And if you want to be in with a chance of winning a set of your choice, then you just need to spend a couple of minutes filling out my listener survey over at downtimepodcast.com/survey. This data is super important for me to understand how I can make the best content for you and to help me when talking to brands about supporting the podcast, which I need in order to keep this thing going. If once you fill out the survey you've still got a couple of minutes spare, then leave us a review wherever it is you listen to the podcast. Give us a follow on social media where we're at Downtime Podcast. Subscribe to the show so you get all of our episodes delivered straight to your device. And if you want to help support the podcast, then share the love at downtimepodcast.com/shop. Keep on telling your friends about the podcast. Sharing our episodes on your social media all really helps spread the word. All right, there'll be another awesome episode coming up soon. But until then, look after each other, and if it's okay to do so, then get out and ride safely.